Hi and welcome back to another episode of Millennialism with me, Adam Gavin. Every week I sit down to chat or interview a guest about a topic that interests me. This week it happens to be online dating and love. I've had entrepreneurs, authors, academics, filmmakers, TED speakers, philosophers, and friends come on this show to discuss a bunch of different topics. Millennialism is a podcast for anyone who wants to learn just a little bit more about the world or who are pondering the same questions as I am. I post new episodes every Friday, so make sure to subscribe so you never miss one. You can find out more on my website, adamgavin.com, or get in touch with me on Instagram at adamgavin, or I don't know, Google it, you'll find it. I post new episodes every Friday, so make sure to subscribe so you never miss one. Do you ever feel confused about the dating game? In that case, you are not alone. Even though it seems like everyone is on some kind of dating app, teenagers and young adults all over the world are feeling lonelier than previous generations and are having way less sex. There are many reasons behind this, but it just seems like many of us are dating for all the wrong reasons and can't make up our minds about what we want. Dating apps and social media presents us with an abundance of possible partners and choices. How many of your matches on Tinder do you actually go on dates with, for example? And do you ever think to yourself, maybe I can find someone better if I just keep swiping? It seems like the challenge in modern times, for many people at least, is not dishonesty, but decision-making. Call me old-fashioned or naive, but for me, nothing will ever beat meeting someone in real life without knowing anything about them, only to unravel the mystery. I have never had to go on a Tinder date to know it's not for me, but I obviously know that not everyone shares my opinion. I have made a few episodes about relationships and love and all that stuff before, but not one quite like this. I was lucky enough to get Sean Kernan, a top writer on Medium in humor, life, business, self-improvement, love, and relationships, to join me for this discussion on the state of online dating, common dating mistakes, toxic couple behaviors, and the ultimate first date question. So if you stick around, you'll know what that is. He also shares some advice on what makes a good dating profile and how to recover from both bad breakups as well as bad dates. Sean's articles on love and relationships have been featured in Inc., HuffPost, and Apple News, just to name a few. Over the last couple of years, he has amassed over 260,000 followers on Quora, and at the time of writing, 374 million content views. Sean is a witty, honest, relatable, and personal writer, sharing his own trials and tribulations, life lessons, and advice for our enjoyment, inspiration, and learning. I really hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did, but I'm also very convinced that you will. So, without any further ado, here is Sean Kernan. It is an honor to have you on my show, Sean. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
You write a lot about love, relationships, and also just a lot of comedy stuff. And it's very nice to read at this point in time when everything seems to be about the end of the world. So thank you for that. I want to get into a couple of your articles. But first, before we do that, I was just wondering, I know that you live in Florida and that you're a writer, but I was just wondering if you could fill me on some of the details, like how old are you, where did you study, and what do you do now for work besides, you know, having 372 million content views?
Yeah. So I'm 36 years old. I grew up in a military family. I've lived all over the country. I've lived in the Philippines. In school, I studied advertising, actually, and I originally had this big idea, dream that I wanted to write famous commercials for Gatorade and all those famous brands. And then, you know, like a lot of people experience, I went into the workforce and the reality of what the actual job would be was so far removed from what I thought it would be in my head. And I just didn't enjoy it. And so I pivoted and I went into finance, which may seem like a completely unrelated field, but it was just, it's a sort of a long story about how I got into it. And I did that for 7 years. Then I went on to do my MBA at the University of Florida. I did about 2 more years in the financial world. And around this time is when I started writing as well. And I started writing on the side at nights just for fun on Quora and then dabbling in Medium. And eventually I just hated it. I hated finance the whole time. And so eventually I just dropped my 2 weeks on my job and went full time on writing.
I had a guest on, she's been on twice, great person. But she talked about love, relationships, moving on from relationships and breakups. And so I was just kind of reading a lot of those articles, and I was getting suggested a lot of articles on Medium about relationships, love, dating, and all that stuff. And I found a couple of your articles, and it was very rare because all the like recommendations I got were always from female writers. But I think you were one of the first male writers where I was like, ah, this is really interesting, really fun take, and interesting, and very good writing and everything. So I wanted to, that's why I got in touch with you, because I wanted to talk about writing about and talking about love and also about dating. So for first question there, like how long have you been writing about and talking about love so openly, because not everyone does?
That's a really good question, because you know, it's true. It's sort of seen, I think, I don't know if it's a masculinity thing where if guys talk too much about relationships and dating, it might be seen as like soft. And I started writing about relationships on Quora originally, and because there's just such an appetite for that topic. I find that anything that's related to your career or your love life, there's a lot of people that are interested in those things, because those things basically touch on all, unless you're a monk or something, I mean, you're going to be affected by those two topics. It's also something I just have a lot of experience with. I'm 36. I've had a lot of girlfriends over the years. I've been married and divorced. I've been single for a lot of my life. And so it's something I've done a lot, and so I can speak to. And so I started, and it's interesting too, as a side note, Quora has like 45 million questions, probably more than that, have been posted on there. And I got to have lunch with one of the head of writer relations last year, and we were talking, and he said that they pulled a list of all the questions and did an analysis of the most common questions that people ask on Quora. And he said the number one question was some iteration of, does she like me? And it's all like, you know, if she looks at me this way, does she like me? Does this mean she likes me? And so there's a lot of people that want to know about that. And so I started just, sharing, writing about love and relationships. And it's actually kind of rewarding. You know, you kind of have to tread the line between, you don't want to like dredge up too much mud and throw people under the bus or anything like that. So I just kind of reflect on my own mistakes that I've made along the way. And there's been many of them. And I think people have enjoyed hearing those stories. And actually
absolutely, like thousands of people have read. Yeah, do you feel like you're like doing that, writing about it? Do you feel like it's like therapeutic for you as well to kind of work through stuff?
Yeah, it's the process in the beginning. I mean, it's really fun to get validation and hear from people and get the claps, and like there's definitely that, you get that sort of rush and you feel good that people, it resonates with people. The process of like writing the article and going through it in your head and really trying to dig in there and get up close to it all and figure out like, why did I do this? Why would I make this mistake? What was going through my head? Because sometimes we do things and we look back and we're kind of cringe and we don't know what we were thinking. And so going back and really thinking about it and translating that to paper can be helpful to you and to other people. And it's good to know that, you know, sometimes people come back and say, you know, I read this article and I tried it and it worked. And so that part's really rewarding. But yeah, it's definitely, there's something therapeutic to writing about, you know, and to your readers, to your listeners, I would say, you know, don't be afraid to go and try writing online. It can be really scary at first for some people because you're posting something and it's going to be out there. But I found that the more people are just honest and just let it all hang out, the better the content does and the better they feel about it.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's so great for like people like me who wants to read your articles, because like you can definitely tell when someone is just, when they're keeping something from you, because you know there's more there, but you can tell they're not really getting personal. And I think, I mean, even though we may sometimes think that our issues or problems or questions are very unique, like millions of other people have them, and reading about them is very comforting to see and hear that other people are going through the same things.
100% agree.
Yeah, and I mean, there is so much good advice in all your articles, and I can tell that you do have experience and that you've thought about it and reflected on not only the good things you've done, but also the mistakes. So like, have a lot of people reached out to you asking for advice more than what you give in the articles?
Yeah, you know, and the problem with that is like, you know, I get these like one-off messages where it's a lot of that, does she like me type questions. Like, you know, she waved to me at lunch, does she like me? And I don't really have time to play that game and sort of give people read their minds. But mostly it's good feedback, and occasionally you get someone who's like, there's some people online that just they're just angry about the world, and occasionally you get those guys who just tell you you're a low T beta cuck or something, and but occasionally it's mostly positive.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. And I can't imagine why it wouldn't be. Like, it's really good. I think one of the articles that I read that I liked the most about like love and dating that you wrote was one that it's called Five Surefire Ways to Die Single. And I loved it because you're kind of, I mean, most of these articles about love and relationships are about like what you should do. And like, oh, you should always be nice and say these things, or call her or him and leave a nice message, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like you really flipped it, and kind of, it was more insightful because you mentioned all the things you should do if you want to end the relationship or have a bad relationship. And it kind of, I felt like it really highlighted some of the just stupid and things that all of us do in relationships. So what do you think are your like top 5 or 10 things you should do if you want to stay single or be in a shitty relationship?
Yeah. So the basic idea there was kind of the previous thing I talked about is being kind of contrarian and going against the grain. And this can apply to any type of content you want to do. If it's writing, podcasts, anything, you just go in the opposite direction of what everyone else is going, because ultimately, as I said before, readers are sort of like disengaged, they're sort of bored, and so everything kind of looks the same after a while. So part of this was informed by the insight that I've learned through guy friends and through my girlfriends talking about their exes, that just a lot of men are just catastrophically bad at relationships and bad at dating, and they're not learning, and they're hard-headed, and they're stubborn. And so I wanted to write something that would just hit them over the head with an article and be like, all right, if you want to die single, here's what we got to do. And so I basically drew on some of the things I've heard and the guys have done in relationships about, talking about their exes all the time and trying to win every argument. A girlfriend was telling me that she had her ex-boyfriend would just any type, they couldn't have any sort of disagreement turn into a shouting match, and they couldn't do anything. And I've heard about that several times where they,
me too.
So I said, anytime you have an argument, make sure your goal should be to win always. And if they get loud, get louder. Then, what was the other one? Treat your commitments as subject to interpretation. So that one was basically, there's a lot of guys who don't necessarily cheat, but they like dabble in shady behavior. They start texting their exes or going on Instagram and creeping on Instagram models and doing this stuff that just causes all sorts of problems in the relationship. Digging up the past. If you want to stay single, just dig up the past arguments that happened that ended like a month or a year ago and just rehash them. No negotiate. Don't ever negotiate. That's the key. You got to make sure get your way. And reek of indiscriminate desperation too. That's a good one. You can just, if you go on dates, just act like you have no other options. Don't project any value. What else? I'm trying to think. I think those are the main ones. But I mean, there's a long list of just terrible.
Definitely. It's so hard to read through because I recognize myself in some of them, and it's like, oh fuck. But
I'm glad to hear that. Because that's a good. That wins is good. So.
And for anyone who like fast forwarded past the part where we started talking about this, like these were all things you absolutely should not do, but you should do them if you want to stay single. So like, as you said, like some guys have reached out to you, and I think it's interesting to talk to another guy, especially one that I don't know and that writes about this stuff. Like what do you think are the most common mistakes guys make when it comes to dating and relationships?
So one of the biggest mistakes I think that I see guys there's this false sense of entitlement that a lot of guys have, or it's this feeling that like the dating process should be easier than it is. And these guys will sort of do bad. They'll go on these online dating apps, they'll go on some dates, and they won't go the way they wanted. And they'll throw their hands up in the air and they'll go, only handsome guys get all the girls. They only want to date. All women are gold diggers and they just want to date guys with a six pack. And I think they really, a lot of guys overestimate like how much work it takes, like like dating and online dating, it's a lot of work. You've got to talk to a lot of people. You've got to go on a lot of bad dates to meet someone. There's that basic approach problem that they have, and they don't understand that you have to try and get better at the process as you go. That it's sort of like interviewing for jobs. If you haven't done interviews for a while, you're usually not going to do great in your first few interviews. Most people kind of are rusty, and they have to get a couple practice rounds in. And so that's the first and foremost mistake that guys have, is they're not patient with the process. So on the actual like dating process, I think that, I mean, where do I start? Getting too drunk, not wearing clothes that fit them, not like working on their body and getting in shape and finishing their, like making their product better. Getting like over, sometimes guys get overly invested in one person and they're just trying to get this girl to like them. And just as a general rule of thumb, if you're getting mixed signals from someone, it generally means they're not that into you. So you need to like keep moving. So try to date more, keep a lot of people that you're meeting, and don't put so much pressure on yourself to, score and or like meet a girlfriend right away. I mean, be patient. And lastly, I'd say, know what it is you actually want when you go out and start dating. Like, do you know what type of person you want to meet? And that doesn't mean like hot. Like we all like dating hot people. That's fun. But what, like, think a little deeper about the person. Do you want someone who's funny, someone who's smart, someone who's easygoing? It's almost worth taking a piece of paper and writing down the qualities and forcing yourself to rank those qualities, because in any sort of dating situation, I mean, we're all going to settle on some level. You're going to have to make trade-offs, and if you don't know what you're willing to trade off, you're not going to be able to make a good decision in meeting a partner.
That's a very good point. I haven't thought about it like that, but that's true. I mean, we all have like a list of priorities, and if it's like priorities we're looking for in a partner, like it's pretty good to rank them as well, because then it's like, all right, these things are I don't care about as much, but these things like are, it would be a deal breaker if I can't have that. So yeah, that's very good. Before we move on more about like dating, I just thought of like another article that you wrote called "A Rarely Mentioned Relationship Sin That Bulldozes Couples." And I really liked it. But for anyone who hasn't read it, what do you think is the relationship sin that ruins a lot of couples?
So that, for those who haven't read it, the article that I basically wrote about, it was I wrote an article about Oprah's longtime partner. What is his, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I wrote about how like they have this really healthy relationship, and this man, and I talked about how I admired Stedman, that's his name, Stedman Graham, and I wrote about how I just admired how he quietly stood behind Oprah, and she's this massively powerful woman who makes tons of money and is influential, and you never see him like clawing to get into the spotlight. He's not jealous. And I think that speaks to, particularly in today's world where you have dual incomes, and a lot of the times you have the female partner is making more money, and a lot of the times you'll see the woman's career will take off and the husband's doesn't, and it'll create a resentment in the man, and it'll almost hurt the relationship. And if you're in a, you should be happy if you see your partner doing well. I mean, my girlfriend she's a university professor. She's got promoted, and I'm super happy for her. I'm rooting for her. I mean, one would think that you would want your partner to be making way more money than you. I mean, that would be an ideal situation. You're both on the same team. Like, it's a lot better than the alternative where your bank account's getting siphoned out because they can't get their stuff together. And so, yeah, the basic premise though is don't compete with your partner. And that extends to things beyond money. So, and it's a common problem, and you see couples, it digs into everything they do. So.
I guess it goes back to what you said earlier about like trying to win. Like that's not what it's about. It's about just like coexisting and not getting ahead of the other person. I guess you're working as a team rather.
Yeah, and like everything in society right now, I mean, everything, it's hard not to become really judgmental in society, because everything around us just engineers us to be really judgmental and sort of rank ourselves amongst other people and decide who's better than who. And being able to like to detach yourself from that mindset is not easy, but it's also really healthy if you can find a way to just turn that button off from time to time, and particularly with someone that you're close with. I mean, you got to get away from that, or it's just going to make things worse between you both. So.
Exactly. Sometimes I think about what is what it must have been like, you know, dating like 100, 200 years ago when you lived like in a smaller village somewhere and you met a girl or a guy and you had five other people to compare to and you're like, oh, this looks amazing. But today is like you have a girlfriend or boyfriend and you're on social media and you're like, oh, I see all these other people and they all seem to be great. Or, I mean, just as good as my girlfriend or boyfriend, or if not better. Like, it's, yeah, it's unhealthy.
Well, yeah. Sure. Yeah. And I think that it's important to recognize that social media is painting a really false reality to what's actually happening. Cause when you're in an actual relationship and you're living with someone and you're on top of each other all the time and you're sharing a bathroom, like being in a relationship, it's not always pretty, it's dirty and you're in there in the trenches together. And so when you see like couples posting like their picture from this fancy brunch place in Bermuda or whatever, you're not seeing like the argument they had when they were getting ready. You're not seeing them, you know, squabbling, getting to the airport. You're only seeing like the really fun part. And so that's what you're comparing your relationship to. So it's really easy to get sort of disillusioned about what's going on. And, you know, again, it goes back to disconnecting. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. I've had friends because I was in the US for many years. I was just like leaving Sweden every couple of months to go there. And then, you know, a friend or something got a girlfriend or boyfriend and everything looked great online. I was like, oh, I'm so happy for you. And then I come home and I sit down and have dinner or something with them. And I'm like, oh, how's everything with your partner? And they just start rambling about all the issues they have. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, I had no idea. It doesn't look like it online.
It would be cool if there was like a filter or like what if technology gets good enough so that like they can detect if you're falsely misrepresenting your relationship and it gives you an error. It's like, you may not post this. This is not how good your relationship is. So
yeah, exactly. Know. Exactly. And then if you get like more than three, you get banned.
Right.
Something like that. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I tried doing like an ad for a previous episode, just the other week, and I got banned because it was deemed like political because I talked about climate change. I guess something similar, but for relationships would be good too.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. All right. So dating, I just want to get your thoughts on online dating. I don't know. I can't deal with it. I can't do it.
You don't like it? Okay.
It's just not for me. I think, I don't know.
So it's weird, you know, I've lived in both worlds. So, you know, I'm 36 and I got married in my mid 20s. And so through my marriage, I saw like before I was married, the only online dating there was on these like obscure websites and Craigslist. And it was sort of this thing that people didn't really brag about. They were kind of ashamed of it. And then while I was married, we saw like this digital revolution and all these websites and these things springing up and Tinder and Match and all these things. And so when I got divorced and I was ready to start dating again, I went and I was like, let me give this a shot. And I loved it from the get-go. I thought it was great. And I was setting up all these dates. And, you know, granted, the thing about online dating is it kind of comes in waves. Like you have these periods where you're not getting any good matches and you're kind of like, and then all of a sudden you might get like three or four good dates to go on in a week. When I look back at some of my original online profiles, it's so cringy. Like I'm so embarrassed of what I did, like what I wrote and what I had. Mm-hmm. But if you learn, I think with online dating, the key is to just sort of get the hang of it and start to learn how to update your profile and adapt and figure out what it takes to stand out and meet people. So. Yeah, I love it. Actually, you know, so when they did the IPO, which means initial public offering, and that's when a company wants to become public, they allow everyone to invest in it. That's when they do an IPO. And I saw that the Match Group did one. It was like 2013 or 2014. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had just started dating. And I think online dating is the future. And I bought in right away. And it's been one of the best investments that I've made. I mean, it's 5, 6, 7x what I originally paid. And so I think
that's amazing.
I think 10, 20 years from now, and 10, 20 years from now, I think that, I mean, online dating is even going to be more pervasive. I met my girlfriend I met her on Tinder. We were just talking about this yesterday. And so talking about how Tinder gets such a bad rap for being only for hookups. But I mean, I know so many people that met their partners on there. So I would recommend.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when I lived in New York, my roommates were on tons of different apps, and to me, it sounded like Hinge was the way was the one to go because it was like more based on you answered questions and you had more of like an icebreaker. But no, we don't have to get into all the different ones. So, what do you think makes a good online dating profile?
So, per what you just said, and what's interesting is that with most online dating companies, the business strategy first and foremost, it's almost always targeted towards women, because it's if you think about bars that do free women ladies drink free night, wherever the women go is where the guys go. So all the dating sites, they're designed to attract the female demographic because the men will follow them everywhere, basically. And so you have to understand that the girls that are on these dating apps, are you asking what's a good profile?
Yeah, I guess I was
Okay.
just thinking of because you wrote in one of your article another one, dating profiles are a highlight reel of bad marketing. So I was just thinking about that. Maybe you spent some time thinking about like what makes it what markets you in a good way, I guess.
And per that article, for those who haven't read it, so I talk about just some of the, and it goes both ways. It's not just guys that have bad profiles. I mean, if you look at a lot of the women's profiles are just terrible. I mean, they're horrible
Absolutely.
profiles. And like, so the highlight one that I mentioned in the article is that I was on OkCupid, and there was a woman who was she was 8 months pregnant, and so all pregnancy photos for her dating profile. And the best part though was that her bio was like this giant rant telling guys to stop messaging her about sex, because that's all she was getting, the sex messages. And I just couldn't help but laugh at just the absurdness of the whole situation. I couldn't believe that, all these guys had this bucket list item that they wanted to sleep with a pregnant woman. And but yeah, so dating profile, probably don't make a profile when you're about to give birth would be a
Yeah.
step one. On a more micro level though, the mistakes I made initially, like I had five just selfies. Like, don't do all selfie pictures, because it can make you look self-indulgent and narcissistic, even if you aren't. Try to have a good mix of pictures, pictures of you with friends, you doing things, you with family, you with an animal. I read a study that the highest impact pictures are pictures of a guy holding an animal. Surprise, surprise. But I would
Yeah.
manufacture that. But yeah, and also the most important thing too, I think, is the bio. Make sure you're putting something in there that is meaningful and describes who you are. And also, don't a lot of guys, the impulse is to turn it into a comedy show. And I've made this mistake too. It's okay to be funny in your bio, but you want to put something in there that's meaningful, because women want to know more about you than just your looks. They want to get in a preview of the type of person you are. So yeah, talk about what you want to do with your life, what your dreams are, who you are. Make sure your pictures are an accurate representation of reality. The person you see in the pictures should be the person they meet in the date. Do not post 40 pounds ago, 10 years younger. That's a recurring problem on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, I love the. I think it was in the same article you wrote about. You like matched with some woman, but all her pictures was like just of her face when she was wearing these like huge glasses, sunglasses. And you asked her if she could send like another photo, and she sent you two more with the exact same same things, just
They
huge
were
glasses.
giant. They were giant sunglasses, and they covered her half of her face in every picture. And so, like, I was like, I think she's cute. I'd like to know. And I asked her, and I was like, there was just a lack of self-awareness, I think. I asked very nicely, can I have some more pictures? And they were just more sunglasses pictures. And the funny thing is occasionally she pops up on my Instagram feed and she still has the sunglasses on. So
Obviously, they're working for
And
yeah, that's so funny. I mean, you're probably not the only one. So actually, the article that I first read from you was it was another one called "The Ultimate First Date Question," which I thought was very good, and especially good for anyone who's like struggling to kind of break the ice on a date or take it from just like a kind of small talk into a real conversation, which is what you want to have. So I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the ultimate first date question and what it does for you.
So the ultimate first date question to ask a person is ask them what they are passionate about. And I wouldn't make this your first question. I would definitely settle in, have a drink, and start talking. The passion, it's a good question because people don't often ask that. And it is a question that I think we'd all hope we have an answer to. And I would encourage you to know what your answer is before you ask it, because you're probably going to be asked the question back. I think it's a good question because it gets people to open up and talk about something that's close to their heart. It's a really good prompt for someone who's shy even. And, you know, if someone is really passionate about art and they're not very talkative on a date, asking them about that and then having follow-up questions about, like, get into the mechanics of what they love about it and give them a reason to talk and open up. And also, it helps you get to know if they might be a good match for you, if they're into something that you could totally see yourself getting into or talking about. I think that in terms of answering it, my biggest advice to people would be, don't have an answer. You know, you want to be honest, but your answer shouldn't be basic, like saying that you love to travel and try new things and try food. Those are not passions. That's stuff that everyone likes. It's kind of obvious. If you don't have a passion, I would encourage you to, you know, start exploring the world and get into something, because I think you're robbing yourself of an opportunity to enjoy the richness of life. I mean, try something that involves creating or doing something interesting. I mean, it's a good question to ask, and it's always gone over well, and then they'll be pleasantly surprised if you ask it.
Definitely. And I think it's a great way because it opens up for a lot of follow-up questions as well. Mm-hmm. Because if you start getting into things you actually care about and can talk about for hours, then it's kind of easy to get follow-up questions. Like if you answer, for example, I love travel, but maybe more interesting, you're like, oh, what's your favorite place to go? And then you get into more stuff. So it's good.
And that's a good segue too. So like if you really are someone who just loves to travel and that's your passion, like have a better answer than saying, I just love to travel. Like dig into like what it is about, like maybe a certain area of the world, like the culture and how it affects your worldview. Like be able to get a little bit beneath the surface into what you said. That's exactly what we're trying to do, is get away from sort of this ping pong Q&A session. You want to turn it into like, if you can get into like an actual conversation that isn't questions and answers, then it'll create chemistry and your date will go a lot better. Because there's a lot of people that go on dates that don't know how to date, and like it could have been a connection, but they just didn't know how to bridge that gap, and they end up leaving the date and never see each other again because of that. So
I think that's actually one of the reasons why I don't like dating apps, because I'm not a huge fan of like small talk, and it's just like that initial thing of getting through to an actual human conversation. Because if I just start asking something that I'm actually interested about, the first thing, they're just gonna think I'm crazy. I think that's one of the things actually. So what are some other like generic questions that you think we should avoid on the first date?
So obviously,
if there are any.
Yeah, there is. I mean, obviously, you know, you should get away from politics, and I think that most people know this, but most people still fall into the trap of it. And staying away from politics doesn't mean, what do you think of Donald Trump? It means like, don't say anything that sort of dances around it. Cause like I was on a date, and like I remember a woman's like, she said something like, it's just a weird time in the world right now. And that's obviously like a politically loaded statement that's sort of steering the conversation in that direction. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's just not a good idea to do anything that sort of drifts that's a topic that can be covered at a later date. That's the main one. Not talking about your exes. That's a big part. Don't ask questions, too many questions. I think it's fair to ask, when was your last relationship? Because a lot of times there's people that are going to have an answer that's like last week. And I feel like that's something you deserve to know. But you know, digging into the past too much is not a good question. What else? Yeah, that's the main stuff. Just the obvious things about those questions. And nothing sexual. Like, guys, I'm talking to you. this is a big one. A lot of guys start to dance around the sexual jokes and the questions, and it just, even if it's funny and the girl smiles and laughs and seems like she's okay with it, you don't know that she's still not leaving, and like, this guy totally just creeped me out or whatnot. So
yeah, I get like Michael Scott vibes from The Office.
Oh yeah,
that's what I'm thinking about. But yeah, that's all really great advice. As I told you, I've had another woman on the show. She's been on the show twice, Kelsey. She's really great. But the times, especially the first time she was on, she talked about moving on from a very serious relationship and kind of getting back to herself, getting to know herself after being in a very long-term relationship. So I was just curious if you had any advice on what, maybe especially guys then, because we're two dudes talking, how you should move on from first like a long-term relationship and or B, like a bad dating experience.
So I think the answer to both of those questions is kind of the same. And so when I went through this really terrible like divorce where it felt like my whole life had been turned upside down and my identity had been changed. And when I was going through that, I had made a decision in the beginning because, you know, the divorce rate's 50%, and I'd seen divorces happen and I'd seen a lot of bad go down in people's lives. And in the beginning, when that happened for me, I made this deliberate decision that I'm not going to do the cliche thing of going and just drinking a bunch of alcohol and crying myself to sleep and eating ice cream all day. And I think the key for me was accepting that, you know, there's going to be really bad days and it's going to suck really bad sometimes. And it's probably going to take longer to get over everything than I'd want to admit. And for me, the important part of all that was to stay busy, just staying busy and doing things and not giving, and this applies to sort of any difficult period of your life, not giving yourself too much time to get inside of your head, because time going by is the most important thing when you're going through heartbreak or any bad breakup, staying busy. So if it's on the dating part of your question, I think you should get out and keep dating and not let your spirits get down. Like, you've got to just keep your chin up and take the losses and keep moving. And for, if you're recovering from a relationship, for me, it was just staying busy, exercising, like use a breakup as a time to better your life. And that brought everything, I mean, that kind of brings everything full circle for me, because my divorce was ultimately what led my path back to writing, where I had originally begun more than a decade ago. Like, I started writing on Quora because I wanted something positive and that could get me moving in the right direction. And so, yeah, I mean, take that time. If you're going through a breakup, you're going to have a lot more free time now. Use that time wisely. I mean, you're not going to be going to brunch as much. You're not going to be doing all these get-togethers. I mean, that's a good time to develop a hobby, work on a skill. Don't dive back into another relationship right away. I mean, for God's sake, that is like, I've seen that happen over and over again. And it leads to a second divorce and second bad breakup.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. And I can kind of weigh in here too. And like, I think it's great what you said, like time will pass, but I think it's important and you should give yourself time, but giving yourself too much time to just be in your own head is bad advice. I've been there myself, and I think the best thing is give yourself time, but use the time to like hang out with friends and do productive things and not actively try to get over the relationship, but just focus on different aspects of life instead.
Yeah. And also like, plan ahead, like accept at the beginning that this is going to suck. Like, if you pay the like psychologically plan for it up front and say, there's going to be really bad periods during this that I'm going to really feel down and I'm going to feel, you know, this, and accept it up front and set rules. Like, I'm not going to start texting my ex in my weak moments. I'm not going to go binge eat or binge drink. Like, try to set those rules up front, accept that it's going to suck and keep moving.
Do you have any last pieces of advice for especially guys who are getting into dating or looking for love?
I have a couple of advice. Bring your best product forward. You need to be taking care of your body. Wear clothes that fit you. Be dating a lot. Make sure you're having good social skills. Be mindful of your actions when you're on a date. Don't talk about sex too early. Don't text about sex trying to get laid, and don't, you know, you're giving us a bad rep doing that stuff. You know, I also don't try too hard. Keep yourself open to possibilities, but if you're just seem desperate to meet someone, it's super, super unattractive in general with men or women. So just play it cool. Be okay with the outcome, whichever way it goes when you're on a date. Be okay with her not being interested and be okay with her being interested, but stick to your guns and just be the person that you are. Don't try to mold and just impress this person and overchase. Don't get caught up, you know, conversely, don't get caught up in like these neurotic games where you're like, you're timing how long it takes her to respond back. And you just don't get too much in your head, but play it cool. Yeah, just be patient. I mean, and most people end up meeting, the only people that don't end up meeting someone are the people who just throw their hands up and quit and turn into incels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just don't get too cynical about the process. Stay optimistic, and it'll probably work out in the end.
That's really great advice. This has been a very different episode from what I've usually have done, but I've enjoyed it like so much. It's you know, I knew you were an amazing writer, but it's you're a very good talker too. So I just want to thank you so much for doing this. You had great answers, great advice. Definitely some that I will take with me in the future. But yeah, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, anytime, man. Anytime.
Loving is easy. You had me fucked up. It used to be so hard to see. Yeah, loving is easy when everything's perfect. Please don't change a single little thing for me. Ooh, oh, 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 oh. So listen, girl, when you can't even hide it, and it didn't take forever to find it. I was all on my own, almost glad to be alone, until love came in on time. Oh, on time. Loving is easy. You had me fucked up. It used to be so hard to see. Yeah, loving is easy. When everything's perfect, please don't change it.